Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, how are you?
I'm doing really well. What's going on, man?
So I know yesterday, you going to the facility, knowing that there are players in the building, even though you're not talking to the players, even though there's no workouts to watch, I know that kicked something inside of you.
Yeah, it's always good to feel the energy, feel the vibes, and definitely felt that. And it wasn't just the players, man. Denard Wilson, I tell you what, that dude will have you ready. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys come out in mini camp coming up, OTAs, when we get to see them.
You know what my favorite thing about Denard Wilson was yesterday?
What's that?
Was it yesterday? Because, again, he's a former secondary coach, played in the secondary in his career. They spent a bunch in the secondary. They spent a lot of money in the secondary. He's like, you better have a pass rush. I'm like, okay, oh, thank God.
Yeah, because that's what I asked him about, you know, the back end versus the front end. And I'm like, I know you got the DB background, but how does that marriage work? And, yeah, he dug in. First thing he said, you know, it's one in the trenches, so you got to appreciate that.
Okay. Let's start with your takeaways from Brian Callahan's press conference, and then I do want to get to the Burks thing yesterday, or the lack of a Burks thing from Callahan. So where do you want to start on Callahan's press conference?
I guess we could start on just I like what he said about Will Levis and just how he talked about the intensity that he comes into the building with and how he's going to let him be a natural leader. And I think this is something that was very critical and a big part of him being hired by Rand Carthon, by the way, because we do know Amy Adams Strunk said that he was going to lead the committee to hire that, but I know you don't want to believe it, but that's a different
story. You don't get credit for doing something
the owner designated you
to
lead.
But then you say that you had nothing to do with the firing? Own that.
He didn't have – it was Amy Adams Strunk's decision. Do you not remember what she said to – On the website, do you not remember that?
Right, but he can get up there and
it doesn't fit your narrative. So I get it.
It's not about a narrative. Okay. It's about consistency.
But consistency is definitely something that's key. And you are consistent with just finding ways to do Simone Biles like gymnastics to keep Rand Carthon from having any type of credit. But nevertheless, in regards to Brian Callahan and what he's been able to so far decipher about Will Levis and bring the previous experience he has in working with the Peyton Manning, with a Joe Burrow and these types, and allowing him to just grow into his own as a leader of the team, that experience is critical. And I liked hearing him talk about how he is going to allow Levis to do that at his own pace and whatever way that he figures is the best leadership.
When I first started doing this, I used to ask Floyd all the time, like, oh, is this guy going to be any good? Or is this going to – and every time he'd look at me and be like, I don't know. And
right.
Every time
you see,
I did
– You see, that's the intelligence to know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Take heed.
I would get so worked up. Like, you're the G. Like, you should know. You should. And
you
I guess maybe I learned like that there's a process to how all these things work out, and whether or not somebody's going to go through the process or how it's going to affect them. Like, I've now understand the why an expert still doesn't know, even if they. It's like asking Terry Bradshaw, who's going to win the Saints game, Terry? I don't know. I mean, I think the Bucks will, but I don't know because any number of things could happen. When people ask me about Will Levis, I feel like I know where Levis is right now, and I could really see this going one of two ways with Levis, and it's, okay, what do they have to do to set him up in order to get, go down the good fork of the road, and then what are the pitfalls that could happen that lead him down to the other side? And I felt like Brian Callahan kind of articulated that yesterday of like, here are all the things that Will Levis has to worry about right now. And it's a lot.
Oh, it's an awful lot. And it's just a part of being an NFL quarterback, a young quarterback who's being looked upon as the possible franchise leader. So, yeah, it is important. There's a lot of it. And I think when you look at Levis and his makeup, I think that he's built to be able to do it. But it's going to depend upon finding ways to get him protection. They've added good amount of weapons, and they've added strength on the defense. So he's in good shape, in my opinion. He just has to take the ball and run with it.
Okay, what did you think yesterday when asked about adding to the receiver room, and he mentioned Phillips, and he mentioned Kinsey, and he mentioned NWI, but he didn't mention Treylon Burks?
I thought it was interesting. I didn't take a negative or a positive from it. I just said, he didn't mention Burks, and this is a guy that I think they're going to really need to step up. It could be looked upon two different ways, right? I don't think it was necessarily a huge message he was trying to send or anything like that, and I understand if someone looks at it that way. But when you look at Treylon Burks, because when I asked Nick Holes about it, and shame on me for not following up, I wanted to follow up with that, but there were other questions I needed to get into. But when I asked Nick Holes about it, one of the things that he said is, you know, he talked about how tremendously talented he is, and he talked about how nothing is going to be given to him. He has to earn it. So I think that was more of a challenge than anything that Brian Callahan said.
So I'm worried about Burks, TD.
I know you are, because you said his cheeks look fat, right?
I mean,
and the shirt didn't lay on him the way you want. Listen, Treylon Burks is not an Adonis-like receiver. Like you see, you know, a DK Metcalf, a AJ Brown, a Deebo Samuel, those types. Treylon Burks is—he's not a extremely well built, put together guy. He's a big guy,
like Luka Doncic.
I guess if you want to call it that, yeah, he's a big guy, so he's not going to look the best. Now I've seen him in the locker room multiple times. You don't look at him and say, "Oh wow, he's in really good shape." You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean he's not in good shape. I don't know, and this goes back to what I said about taking heed to knowing what you don't know. You don't know if he's in shape or not. And I think it's foolish to base it off of his cheeks being fat and him not looking right in a T-shirt.
I got so excited last year when I saw Burks. It was OTAs, had a press conference early on, had the towel around his neck, and he talked about all the work he put in, and I could just, you know, it just – it looked like he was in great shape, and it looked like he was ready to attack the year. And I know this as being a bigger guy myself. We talked about Tasty Cakes last week on the program.
Man. Did you try them?
I did not, because if I eat one of those things, TD, I will step on the scale, and I will be 5 pounds heavier. When you're a bigger guy like me, it's like the choice is binary.
I'll give you half of one, man. You got to just.
No, see, that's the thing. You take a bite of one, and it's like, boom, immediately 4 pounds. It's like there's no – I don't understand it. Like there's – I got friends that, you know, can't even gain weight. They're like, oh, yeah, I try to get – if I don't watch what I eat, I lose weight. I'm like, how? How is that possible? So – and I feel like there's even athletes like this that, you know, we'll talk about, like, yeah, I got to watch it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about Burks, just the mental aspect of putting everything into it last year and it not ending the way that he wanted it to go, and what effect that might have had on him in this offseason, because it's not just the video the Titans posted. There were some pictures, you know, a couple weeks ago. I looked at Burks and I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm worried.
Did you see the one that they posted yesterday, the video where they all were working out and he was working out?
I did see him working out.
Okay. Look, I'm wise enough to know what I don't know. So I'm not going to say he's in shape. I'm not going to say he's out of shape. I believe he is, just knowing, you know, what he has done this offseason. But again, like, I don't know. So I'm not going to say yes or no. But I will say this with Burks, though. Yeah, he worked hard and he came back in tremendous shape last year. I don't think that's going to – and it didn't work out the way he wanted it to. I don't think that's going to discourage him from coming back in shape again. The man had a knee injury. I mean, he was killing it in training camp, right?
It was awesome.
He was dogging the Vikings corners on that day also. In fact, he got hurt on a play in which he toasted them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he showed acceleration to go get the ball, and he reached out and got him, banged the knee, and then boom. That's not something that results from working out.
Or a concussion.
Or being in shape. And then the concussion. Like, these are things that happen. So I don't think he's going to be discouraged. If anything, I would imagine he would be encouraged to come back just the same. It was just like, yo, I busted my behind to do well that season. It didn't end right. I'm going to bust my behind even harder just to make up for that. And then also, one of the things with Callahan and the question, now, it was Sam Phelan. Sam had asked Callahan about where they needed to add receivers. And the first thing that Callahan said was in the slot. Now, the two guys he mentioned, Kinsey and Phillips, those are dedicated slot guys. NWI, we already know, he's a cross trainer.
Sure.
He goes all over. I wonder if he doesn't see Burks as a dedicated slot guy and one of those guys is going to cross train. Because you notice he didn't mention Ridley or Hopkins either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it could be taken a bunch of ways. I think we need to allow this thing to – let's see what happens, how they go into rotations and stuff in OTAs.
Well, the number one thing is guys are going to get hurt throughout the course of the year. So to say like, okay, well, he's outside, so
no.
That's it.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's hard to do. The other thing, though, that I do think about is Burke's spot on the team. Not that they would cut him, but I could perhaps see if they draft the receiver, I could see them – you know, trading him for a pick next year, and it's obviously going to be pennies on the dollar at that point. We're talking fifth or sixth round. But doing that, because if they were to draft another receiver for this team this year, then it's like, okay, well, how many receivers are going to be active on game day? And Burks can't play special teams like NWI can or return punts like they say Kyle Phillips
can. You could put him in kickoff return. You could put him back there.
Well, the new kickoff return, he might be.
Exactly.
No, I kind of want to see Spears or Pollard back there in the new kickoff return.
I don't think Burks would be bad back there either. But, I mean, the point is, like, you don't have to trade him. You could keep him, and there's nothing wrong. We saw how many, you know, with the injuries and stuff a couple years ago, right, where it was like, oh, you got some guys starting that is – I don't know that guy is league material. You know what I mean? But – that ended up being on the field. So I think when you look at this, there's nothing wrong with keeping Burks, even if they do draft a Malik Nabers or someone along those lines, a Javon Baker, whatever. If they draft these guys, the more the better. You want competition at every position.
TD is with us for the TD Power Hour, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Coming up next, the 7th overall pick. You brought up Nabers, TD. We got scenarios to go over. And is it as simple as Alt's the guy if he's there? We'll do that next here on the program with TD. 2 weeks away, TD, from the NFL draft. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know those are my guys. You know Hiller's been taking care of my home for years, and you know that Hiller can do the exact same for you. That's right. It's so easy to book an appointment with Hiller. You just go right online, happyhiller.com, and you can set the appointment, and then you get a text notification right away telling you, okay, it's going to be tomorrow between these hours, and then it's great. Save and smile this month with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. From now until April 30th, take advantage of big savings on home systems. Enjoy up to $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade or replace your system, now is the time. Visit happyhiller.com today for details. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters. The Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
From everything I've gathered, they feel like there is a gap with Joe Alt. Joe Alt checks the most boxes. There's other guys who maybe have bigger weak spots or areas where they have to develop further on either one aspect as a pass protector, as a run blocker. You know, there's been a couple of guys I talked to also faced other guys who were projected in the first round. And when I would ask them about other guys after talking about Joe Alt, they'd be like, are people talking about, you know, blank as a top 15 pick or something? And I was like, well, there's chatter that this guy's going to be a first round pick. He's like, oh, he's a good player. He ain't Joe Alt, though.
That was Bruce Feldman on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week. He's talking to college coaches who are like, yeah, these guys are good, but they're not Joe Alt. So TD is with us for the TD Power Hour presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, is it as simple as if the Titans go on the clock with the 7th pick and Joe Alt is there, that the Tennessee Titans are selecting Joe Alt out of Notre Dame?
Nope, it's not that simple, man. I think a lot of things can happen before that to warrant a trade back. So let's say Alt is there and you got the Vikings who are hot on J.J. McCarthy, right? Or let's say somehow – I'm not saying it's likely, so don't kill me on X. I'm just saying somehow, let's say Drake May drops. And at 7, you got teams that want to trade up to get him, and they get a good offer. I can see them trading back. And look, I've said Joe Alt is the most pro-ready prospect since December, January, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they should do it, but I'm saying that's something that I could see.
So here's my thing on the trading back, which is if they trade back and they trade that pick, whoever they're probably trading the pick to is probably not taking Joe Alt with that pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if they traded to Minnesota or they traded to Chicago, you know, if Neighbors is there, I could actually see Chicago and Atlanta getting into it with one another about, you know, hey, let's get up to seven. Chicago just jumps Atlanta at eight to get to Neighbors, or Atlanta tries to buy the pick from you so that you can't trade the pick for Neighbors. And I could see something like that, which would mean maybe a trade and Alt. But then I wonder how we look at the Alt versus Fashanu debate that was really the beginning of all of this, which is if you trade to, say, 11, maybe you don't get Alt because the Jets take him at 10. But is Olu Fashanu worth what you would pick up in extra draft capital for the drop-off of a Joe Alt at that point?
Right.
How do you think, given the fact that Bill Callahan is their offensive line coach, and that the only – when I say, you know, needs work on technique, just from what I've read, it's not that Fashanu has bad technique. He just could shore it up a little bit. How much is that kind of in the minds of the Titans that, hey, if we end up with Fashanu and more picks, i.e. more players, more depth, everything else, we're better off than if we just use that pick on Alt?
I think that's something that they would strongly consider, honestly. And, you know, today we had a conference call with Mel Kiper, and I asked him about, you know, trade back. Like, how does he look at that? And he said if they were to trade back, he said the best target, in his opinion, would be Amarius Mims. And if that's the case, now you're looking at, you know, a trade back in the 15 to 20s. You know what I mean? But he had mentioned Mims is the best guy, and he said that he's believes strongly that he could flip to left tackle, and it'll all depend on Bill Callahan and the crew. So you have that. I personally think, you know, if you do trade back, Fashanu is the best option. I think when you look at him, the Michigan game it's a really good game of his. So if you get a chance, you know, watch that game. The Ohio State game, there's some, you know, some warts there. He's lunging a little too much. You see him caught out of position. But, I mean, there's a lot to work with Fashanu. So it's not like, you know, you're going from, you know, a Lamborghini to a Honda. You know what I mean? You're still in that good range of exotic sports cars, so to speak. So I think, you know, to move back and get another pick, that would actually be something that I would look into doing, especially if that pick, you know, is a third-round pick, or you look at the trade that a lot of people are proposing, you know, between the Vikings and the Titans with 11 and 23 for 7. Like, that's really good compensation. And now you're coming away with Fashanu at 11, right? And then you're also coming away with a Keon Coleman or A.D. Mitchell, you know, a Brian Thomas or a Chop Robinson. You know, there's a lot of directions that you could go, and I think that would be the ideal trade for them.
Okay, so I'm going to put you kind of on this big scenario question that we've had this week, which is, let's say four quarterbacks go, and Marvin Harrison goes, and for some reason, both Malik Nabers and Joe Alt are both on the board at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Nabers versus Alt. Let's take the trade out of this for the second. Nabers versus Alt. Again, elite touchdown scorer versus elite non-touchdown scorer. Which side for this Titans team do you lie on in that argument?
That's a tough one. That's tough. I love what Jordan Reed said about Malik Nabers, and it applies. He said it looks like he's playing football with a jetpack on his back.
Yep.
And that is the truth. But I need the personal protector. You know, I go in and I take Joe Alt at 7 if I have to pick out of those two.
Seems like it's pretty much all we were asking everybody this week. It seems like it's pretty much unanimous. You, Trevor, Ian, Chris, everybody kind of going Alt in that direction. I do wonder.
I don't know that it's unanimous in that building. You look at how much interest they've shown in Nabers, man. They were at his pro day. They met with him there, met with him at the combine. He's on a 30 visit. It's a lot of interest.
You're going to think that I'm a conspiracy theorist for what I'm about to say.
Oh, boy.
So, I know the Titans have brought in Joe Alt for a visit and everything else. I think they're doing everything in their power not to talk about Joe Alt, you know, because even if they're just sitting there saying, you know, shooting the breeze with one of these insiders, reporters, something, and they're like, yeah, we love Alt, Alt's great or something, then it's going to be Titans love Alt. We haven't seen any of that. And I don't know about your conversations with him because you obviously have sources inside that building, but I wonder if the Titans have just kind of, you know, just, hey, man, nobody say anything about Alt. Nobody even look in the direction of Alt. We don't want anybody to think we're going Alt. So when you say, like, yeah, look at what they've done with Neighbors, and I think they've really, you know, just from what I've heard, it seems like they've been sniffing the tail of J.C. Latham a lot. I think some of that might be more so because they don't want anybody to think that they're in on Alt and then say, well, now we got to jump them to get to the Giants at six or whatever.
Yeah, I told you about the Latham stuff weeks ago. I think really what that is just, look, man, you know he's a good prospect. You know he's solid. You don't really have to go out of your way to praise him. You don't have to go out of your way to smokescreen him either. You know what it is. Like, it's the number one prospect at the position. Not unanimously, but for the most part. And the number one prospect at that position matches your number one need. Like, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes or Kojak to figure out that, you know, Alt is probably the best candidate for the Titans. So I don't think there's really too much positioning or anything like that. They know what it is with Alt, and they're just, in my opinion, exhausting other options, you know, just in case that doesn't work out.
You brought up and said Mel talked about trading back for Amarius Mims. How much does the lack of experience, of game experience for Mims, concern you?
If it were me, I wouldn't touch him. No, not in this situation. I wouldn't touch him. Because you've already taken, now not this regime, but the franchise has already taken enough hits and spent enough draft capital trying to fix the offensive line, right? And Isaiah Thomas and, or excuse me, Isaiah Wilson and you know, we don't even get into it. Dylan Raiders, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't trust not only the lack of playing and experience, but the injuries. And he's a big guy. I probably wouldn't – I wouldn't do it in this case. I will go with a safer pick, you know, in Alt or, you know, in J.C. Latham. I would go that route instead.
I have a text. I was texting today with a former general manager. I asked him something that I cannot, like, I cannot get over. I mean, as much as people tell it to me, I cannot get over it. TD, I want to share that with you, and I want to do that on the other side. Plus, what is, for the Titans, with the 7th, and let's throw the 38th pick into this, in a perfect world, who would those picks be? We'll test TD on that. We'll do it next here on the TD Power Hour. Hey, Chase and Big Joe have your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to an all-inclusive suite to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. The contest is brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com. Tune in tomorrow between 9 and 11 a.m. for your chance to qualify to win.
How do you kind of assess the defensive line situation beyond Jeffrey Simmons? Obviously, yeah. Autry and Tart were big parts of what they've done here in the past. Both those guys are going.
Yeah, it's a position that's still in its building phase. You know, we got guys that we feel good about, but you know, just like any front, offensive or defensive front, you're never going to turn down good players that can bolster that. It always is going to start and end there. If you can play physical in the trenches, you're going to have a chance to be a pretty good football team. And so those are always areas we're going to look to add players, even when we might have what we think is a good front, which we do. There's always going to be opportunities to keep adding to it, because all I know is when you play against a team that seems to kind of come at you in waves and every player they put out there can play, that's a lot of stress on an offense, from my perspective. So, the more guys you have that can rush from inside and outside, the stouter you play against the run, that's an area that you're always looking to keep adding good players to.
All right, that was Brian Callahan talking about the defensive line. TD brought up Chop Robinson earlier. Defensive line, certainly a need going into the draft. So, TD, I got two things, actually three things this segment, but let's these two things first. One, do we want to talk about, in a perfect world, how 7 and 38 would go? Or do you want me to share with you what a former general manager said to me today that, for some reason, I just can't believe?
All right, let's go how 7 and 38 would go. And I think 7 and 38 would go like this. Joe Alt, I think, is the best option at 7. And 38, it would be one of two players, Jerzon Newton or Johnny Newton, as some refer to him as, or Darius Robinson. I think Newton, put him next to Simmons, and I think, that's going to be a problem.
You know what's crazy about Newton? I've seen him at the end of some of these mock drafts in the first round, and when I screw around with the PFF mock draft simulator, he comes up a lot at 38.
Yeah.
You know, is the top player still on the board? And I don't really know much about him.
He's another one of those 50 first-round draft picks that we talk about. So, yeah, I mean, I think he could be there. But I'll say this, right? If you want to talk about tackles, and if they don't go there at 38 defensive line, watch some LSU. I posted LSU versus Wisconsin, and they have three guys there, Mason Smith, who, you know, and I forgot all about these guys. That's why I love talking to different people. We had Charles McDonald from Yahoo Sports on talking with TD this week, and he was like, man, don't forget about the LSU guys, right? And you got Mekhi Wingo, who he compared to Grady Jarrett, like that same – undersized defensive interior guy that could play 3-4 end. And then he mentioned Mason Smith, right? And Mason Smith is a big, massive player that is relentless with his pass rush. And he was coming off an injury last year. So those are some guys you're looking at, 106, 122, where they are in the fourth round. And then also Jordan Jefferson is another one to consider. So if you watch LSU tape, watch number 0, 18, and 99. Those dudes get after it.
Okay, the second thing, a former general manager texted me. I texted the former GM, and I said, because I just can't, this J.J. McCarthy stuff, it's just too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how do you feel about McCarthy? That was it. GM said, I like him. I think he is very much worth the pick as a potential franchise quarterback. He played within the system they put him in. TD? I think this J.J. McCarthy stuff's real.
I absolutely believe it's real. And here's the thing. I don't remember who it was, but I remember years ago talking quarterbacks with somebody at the Combine. And one of the things they brought up, and it's common sense if you think about it, but he said, watch how you want to get a good gauge on a quarterback, watch how he responds on third downs. And in late fourth quarter situations, you look, that's when J.J. McCarthy's at his best. And that's when he's getting opportunities to show what he could do. So, look, I don't believe that he's a top 10 player. I think for the Titans' sake, Titans fans should hope that teams do believe that. But I think a lot of personnel people are not looking at the overall body of work, but honing in on situations. And that's something that, if you remember with Brady, a lot of, analysts and personnel people looked at that and say, you know, this guy, he just wins. You know, and when it's on the line, he comes through. Let's use a pick on him. And that's what the Patriots ended up doing.
I actually, Charles Robinson said today that some people are thinking that the Patriots have J.J. McCarthy number one on their board
Wow.
over Caleb Williams.
Wow.
I mean,
if they do that, I mean, look. I don't want Jaden Daniels to go to Washington, but you look at three, you know, if they do that and then a team trades up to get Jaden Daniels at four or McCarthy at four, I think, you know, now you're looking at something pretty cool. Whoever goes to Minnesota is going to be in an awesome position.
Now, I want to carve some time. This is the third thing, TD. I want to carve some time out for this. Don't think I forgot. You do not like my love affair for Sam Darnold. The floor is yours.
Okay, listen. You use the words awesome and great.
I love him.
Talking about his last six games. And you told me to watch it, right? Which I did watch because DJ Moore just happens to be, outside of A.J. Brown, one of my favorite receivers in the league. So I watch Carolina a lot. But he was a game manager, Jared. And you look at, you know, you said he led him to a 4-2 record and you look at the Saints game, man. Like, if you watch that and you come away with great and awesome, it's like me reading a Spanish textbook. I didn't know what I was reading, and you didn't know what you were watching if you said that. Because this guy, he completed 5 out of 15 passes. He almost had as many interceptions as completions. And one of the interceptions was so gross as far as not seeing – Tyrann Mathieu coming off his post to that route, the deep pass that he threw to DJ Moore, it was just ridiculous. And that's something that he's done consistently throughout his career, is turn the football over. Now, I don't understand how you could call him great and awesome and say Kyler Murray sucks.
Because here's the thing. Kyler. And you Tua. Could pull, throw Tua in there, too.
Tua was a pretty good quarterback last year. And Kyler Murray, you go back to 2021, since you want to pull, like, portions of somebody's career and say that they were good, go back to 2021 and look at what he did in those first seven games. 17 touchdowns, Jarrett. They were 7-0.
And right? I saw the one here where they kicked the crap out of the Titans.
Yeah, it was that year. That's what started it.
That hit the now, him and D-Hop game.
Now, if you go back to and you look at this stretch that you want to point out in regards to Sam, I almost say Sam Bradford, to Sam Darnold.
Maybe some similarities between the two.
They turn the football over a lot. But, I mean, like, I pulled some numbers, too. And, you know, you look at this. From week 12 to week 18, this is when he played. Right when he his what made you come away with awesome and great somehow
the Wilkes era
he was 28th in completion percentage over that stretch. His completion percentage was 58.6. He was 18th in QBR. His QBR was 51.4. Now he was second in yards per attempt at 8.2, but guess who was first? I'll give you two guesses.
Who was first? Hold on, wait. Dak.
No.
Tua. It has to be somebody who sucks.
Tua, Tua? At 8.4. I don't see how you can say Tua sucks.
I can't do Tua.
I don't see how you can say Tua and Kyler Murray sucks, but turn around and say Sam Darnold is awesome or great. Like that's beyond Skip Bayless and Mad Dog Russo level of ridiculousness.
I will stand on the table for Sam Darnold.
Woo.
And this is what I want to see.
Woo.
I want Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's going to take J.J. McCarthy, so this is all
moot. What's good about
anyway.
Sam Darnold? What's good about him? Help
First
me out.
First of all, I think Sam Darnold has been screwed over as much as any quarterback could be screwed over. Like, Mariota-level screwed over. Come which, on. Again, it is what it is. But I do believe that when he had D.J. Moore, like, they – that and a real coach. And
when he
Steve
had D.J.
Wilkes,
Moore,
way,
he had a he was 28th in completion percentage. Less than 60.
He's got other bums on the team. He and DJ Moore and Steve Wilkes willed them back into the playoff race. And I just
he willed them into the playoff race, winning the game 10-7, completing 5 out of 15 passes with 2 interceptions.
But him and Tua
stop it.
And him and Murray. This is the Steve McNair, Kerry Collins thing. Where the old man used to say, I want to, you know, everybody says, well, how could you go with Steve over Kerry? And I said, put Kerry at Alcorn State and put Steve at Penn State. And see what happens.
You're dealing with hypotheticals. See, I don't do that.
I'm just telling you right now.
This is why
I want to see Darnold play quarterback this year, is because they got a good coach in O'Connell. They got two receivers, one of whom might be the best in the league.
Bro,
and if Darnold sucks this year, if he's the quarterback
Darnold
in Minnesota.
Darnold is not good.
Dude,
he is
Darnold,
not good.
For you to look at
Darnold and say that he's awesome or great, and then turn around and look at Kyler Murray or Tua and say that they suck. It is very clear and obvious to me that if you watch games and you come away with this conclusion, that it's the equivalent to reading a Spanish textbook.
The only reason I feel this way is because I watched those Panther games on NFL Plus while I rode the bike last offseason. And I was like, this guy's playing good football.
He's playing good football.
And
right?
I've
completing
watched
5
Tua
out of
play,
15 passes.
And I watched Tua in every big game.
You know, over that stretch, the one time he had a pretty competent passing total, they lost.
Was that the Tampa Bay game?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was.
He's not a good quarterback.
Bananas.
He's not a good quarterback.
Like, Minnesota, if you're listening to me. Please start him this year.
For Minnesota's sake, don't listen.
So that when he plays like Baker Mayfield did this past year in Tampa Bay, I can say, I told you guys about Sam Darnold. Mm. And Tua, I'm sorry. You know, Murray.
Tua led them to the playoffs last year.
We can argue about Murray.
What are you talking
about? You know, Murray has done some good things in his career.
Tua has also.
Nah, Tua to me is made by Tyreek Hill.
Okay, so do you think Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle getting all these yards after the catch, do you think that has nothing to do with Tua?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I have said.
You got to stop exposing yourself, man.
This is
embarrassing.
When the Titans beat.
This is embarrassing.
When the Titans
you know a big
Miami
part of
Monday
getting
Night
yards
Football.
Off after the catch, you know a big part of why they went and got Tyreek Hill? Why?
Because he's really, really good so that Tua could throw the ball to somebody because Tua stunk before he had Tyreek Hill because Tua stinks?
You're continuing to expose yourself. Just relax and let me finish. There's this thing called timing. I know you're not familiar with it, and I get it. This is a part of knowing what you don't know and understanding what you don't know. But yards after the catch happen from timing, right? You have to throw the ball to a point where the receiver could accelerate and go get it. Timing is something that Tua does as well in anticipation. He does it as well as pretty much, if not better, than most quarterbacks in the league. That's a reason why that whole everything works well with him and Tyreek Hill and with Jalen Waddle. And also with, you know, the running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. He has really good touch, accuracy, and timing with his passes. Now, I get it. You look at a box score and you're not going to see that. So I understand you saying he sucks from that perspective.
Well,
but
mean,
if you take and actually know game. If you take and actually know what you're watching,
TD,
you will see that he does.
You were
suck.
At the Titan game in Miami,
yeah,
right?
One game I was at. Yeah.
Tyreek got hurt. And
right.
When Tyreek went out, Tua was awful.
Tua, yeah, he has some issues.
He's
he made some
have
plays.
Tyreek.
Okay, so Josh Allen is bad without Stephon Diggs, right?
We're gonna see. We're gonna see.
Yeah, yeah.
I am.
But Sam,
Tua
but Sam
is,
Darnold is great and awesome. Like,
I think Tua is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. I would rather have Sam Darnold than Tua. I would rather have Will Levis than Tua. I would rather have Anthony Richardson, who's played six games.
This
over Tua.
Is the NFL.
This is the NFL,
right.
And Tua stinks in it.
Yeah,
and I will die on that hill.
Well, Tua has had a much better career than Sam Darnold,
and
who
if
you
Tua,
call awesome or great.
If Tua had been
you know what?
5 years
if,
earlier when
if,
Adam
if
Gase
I, if
was
I
the
ran,
coach
if
there.
I ran 4.3 instead of 4.56,
I know.
I might have got paid to play ball. But you see, I don't deal in ifs, man. You can't
I know, but I'm just telling you, like, again, this is all about if Tua were to be on another team without Tyreek Hill, I think he'd suck. Just like he sucked before Tyreek got there and the owner got suspended for trying to get rid of him for Tom Brady. Just like Brian Flores kept benching him. I'm telling you, Tua is a product of a good coach, great receivers,
he had a good
running
season
game.
Last year, though.
What?
He had a good season last year.
But in the Titan game, Tyreek got hurt, and he was terrible.
So you're going to point to one game?
Well, the Buffalo game at the end of the year when he was awful. He did nothing in the playoff game in Kansas City.
Overall, his body of work is good. Like, to say, again, to say he's – and I'm not saying Tua is a top 10 – quarterback. I'm not saying that. But if you're going to say Tua sucks or Kyler Murray sucks and turn around and say Sam Darnold is awesome or great based off of six very mediocre games, you're exposing yourself.
I'm in on Darnold. I'm in. Vikings, that's please a, play him so I can shame. Be right about this. All right, TD with your phones next. 615-737-1025. The TD Power Hour is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 of the game. TD is with us, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, go right to the phones here.
One thing real quick. 16-4. That's all I'm going
to
say.
16-4.
You better check the internet.
16
My Mets over the Braves, baby.
Oh, man. Boy, I tell you, I'm a little worried about the Braves.
Yeah.
But if I was a Met fan, I might be a little bit more worried about the Mets.
Oh, trust. But long-term, the baby Mets are looking good.
There you go. Hey,
yeah.
Hope.
That's right.
Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Mike, you're up with TD. Thank you for calling and waiting. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So, TD, I've heard that when you're trading back with another team, that the asking price, again, hypothetically, if you're calling in for a quarterback versus trading up for another player is you can almost like it's almost like you can feel like you can ask for more or the thing is different. Is that true based on what you've heard there? And then lastly, my other question is there any other like proven veteran players with some of these teams that are trading back that we might be able to pick up in part of a trade that could also help us along with some of the holes that we need?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. As far as trading back, and so a team will, they won't say, hey, look, like we're moving up to get J.J. McCarthy. They'll just say, our guy, it looks like, is going to be there. So you don't know for sure if it's going to be a quarterback. You could have a pretty good idea, like if the Vikings are looking to move up. You got an idea that's the quarterback. So you can ask for more. It's just like any other negotiation. You start higher and you see where you guys could agree upon. Now, as far as from veterans from other teams, the trade-up options, I would say Raiders, Vikings, Bills are in the mix now. I don't know if you want to go all the way back there, but I would say those would be the trade-up options. I don't know of any players offhand, just off the top of my head, that they would put in the deal to make that sweet enough to make the move. So that's something I'll have to look at and get back to you on.
Plus, off the top of my head, I mean, Arizona got a freaking haul for Will Anderson, so it's not just for quarterbacks.
And, of course, that was the number two overall pick.
Three,
still.
As we know, the Titans were willing to give up a haul to get to three if the other guy wasn't there. Tommy is up next here on the program. Tommy, you're on with TD.
Hey, buddy. Number one, Sam, Darnold is not a starter, in my opinion. But I've heard y'all talk about Will Levis, and I'm not saying y'all talk bad about Will Levis, but I'm not sure that everybody's giving him the respect he deserves. I mean, a guy came out there, he didn't get the first reps. He went out and played Atlanta, an eighth-ranked defense, and absolutely torched
him. Demolished him.
The one particular throw sold me on Levis. The one off his back foot where he threw the receiver into the end zone.
Yes.
That was incredible.
I mean, how many quarterbacks that has ever lived make that throw? Yeah. Rodgers and Mahomes?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Tommy, I tell you this. I'm pretty high on Will Levis. And I'm sure that you've, you know, kind of followed along, all of us, throughout the year. But I've been on high on Levis for quite some time. And I think he's very talented. He's come in and really just – there's a lot of people who doubted his personality, doubted his ability, and he's come in and just shown. Now, does that mean that there's no room for improvement? No. He still has to get better as far as pocket awareness is concerned. He still has to get better, and he's gotten better, but he has to continue to get better as far as not being so thirsty to push the ball down the field. And it's something that he's worked on. I think Will Levis is going to be a good player, and I think this team is setting him up to succeed.
I'm right smack dab in the middle on Levis, which is usually not a position that I take. You know, usually I'm on one end or the other. I think he could be a superstar. I also think that whether it's the injuries or, you know, the YOLO throws that sometimes don't go his way, you know, I could see that becoming problems. You know what I mean? So I'm like right down in the middle. Caleb and Gallatin says, TD, everyone says Alt is the perfect prospect and ready to start now, and Fashanu needs some work, but he has all the tools to be great. Does Fashanu have a higher ceiling if things go completely right for him, or does Alt have the better ceiling? And would Fashanu be better given Bill Callahan as his coach?
I think they both would be better given Bill Callahan as their coach. I think that Fashanu is ready to start now. You draft him, he's your starting left tackle, period. As far as a higher ceiling, I mean, I could see where you say that. I'm going to come off that stance that I had initially about the higher ceiling, though. I think Alt still has room to improve, just like Fashanu does. And so either one of those guys, you put them with Bill Callahan, with a stout coach like that, I think you're in good shape.
Let's lightning round through some of these just to get them through. TD, what will the Titans do at linebacker or safety? Gibbons and Molden are not it.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple late guys. You got Marcus Banks from Mississippi State, I think, is a really good one. Jordan McGee, who they were at his pro day at Temple. Those are options. If they go higher, you're looking at Edge Cooper at 38. You're looking at Trotter Jr. is an option too, but I would look that way. Colson is another one.
Texture says, TD, what do you think about Sadiq Charles at right guard?
Look, what I got from people in Washington was ability wasn't the problem. The problem was availability, which we know is the biggest ability. But, I mean, every time that they felt that he was ready to turn the corner and establish himself as a starter, he has some type of injury. So I think, you know, you heard Nick Holes talk about him being a power guy, and that's what they want. I think that he could end up being the starter at right guard, to be honest with you.
Texture says, TD, if the Titans end up with the good fortune of drafting Malik Nabers, what do they do for the two tackle spots?
So I think, you know, Andrews Pete, he gets one of those, hey, big head, or one of those you up text messages. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's like you're circling back to a person that you were interested in before. I think, you know, Roger Rosengarten is someone I would look at right tackle. I would look at, you know, Patrick Paul. I would look at these types as options. And then, you know, you look at some of the other late right tackles. What is his name? His name slips my mind. But there's another one that you could get, like, in the fourth round, the Mizzou tackle. His name just slips my mind.
TD, tell us about ESPN Bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Look, March Madness is over, but, you know, ESPN Bet, we're still ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sports book of ESPN, and it has it all, whether it be offers or promotions from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and other ESPN personalities. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan than right now, because we know baseball is starting. New users, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. It's quite a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
TD, great stuff as always.
And Sam Darnold's not a starter.
Oh, I know he's not a starter, but I hope he is, because I hope Minnesota doesn't take McCarthy, and I will die on that hill as always. TD, great stuff. Coming up next, Kentucky got turned down not just once today, twice. We'll get into that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.